Welcome to worship. Thank you for your choice to be here this morning. It is a blessing to be together. I invite your patience as we adapt to a revised worship order. And now let's take a moment in the silence to ask the Holy Spirit to bless each of us in worship. What do you need to hear today? Why are you here? Amen.
Amen. Please join us in invoking the Holy Spirit with our song, Come and Pray in Us. Holy Spirit.
Come and pray in us, Holy Spirit. Come and pray in us. Come and pray in us, Holy Spirit, Spirit come, Spirit come, come and pray in us, Holy Spirit, come and pray in us, come and pray in us, Holy Spirit, Spirit come, Spirit pray in us, Holy Spirit, come and pray in us, come and pray in us, Holy Spirit, Spirit come, Spirit come, come and pray in us, Holy Spirit, come.
Come and pray in us. Come.
Let's stand and join in singing the gospel in one word is love. Lord of the universe, Master and Creator, Giver of this and every moment, Mother and Father, we thank you for calling us together to receive your word that calls us awake to your love, that inspires us with a new destiny and fills our hearts with desires. May we be touched by your love and wisdom in this service, in the company of our friends and family and loved ones, that we would be changed, sent home, never the same again. We pray this in your most holy threefold name, our family name, Transcendent Father, Omnipresent Son, and Immanent Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated for the hearing of God's word.
Please join with me in listening for God's word. Our reading is taken from 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 3 through 10. Samuel was sleeping in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. The Lord called to Samuel, who answered, "Here I am." Samuel ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." "I did not call you," Eli said. "Go back to sleep." So he went back to sleep. Again, the Lord called Samuel, who rose and went to Eli. "Here I am," he said. "You called me." But Eli answered, "I did not call you, my son. Go back to sleep." At that time, Samuel was not familiar with the Lord, because the Lord had not revealed anything to him as yet. The Lord called Samuel again, for the third time. Getting up and going to Eli, he said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli understood that the Lord was calling the youth. So he said to Samuel, "Go to sleep. And if you are called, reply, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" When Samuel went to sleep in his place, the Lord came and revealed his presence. Calling out as before, "Samuel, Samuel." Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant is listening. Samuel grew up, and the Lord was with him, not permitting any word of his to be without effect. May this reading nourish our journey deeper into wisdom and love. Amen.
Here I am. And here we are. And so it begins. This Five Choices little sermon series is a way to recognize that a lot of us in the room, many of us were here on Tazeh night, on New Year's Eve night, at this time of year, make new intentions, make new aims, make new wishes. Am I the only one? No. And probably by about the middle of January, a lot of us may be realizing that our willpower isn't as heroic as we thought. And that we're discovering that the desire that we had on New Year's Eve to change our life, to do something different, to have courage to make a choice about something, to repair our relationship, to seek a new job, whatever it might be, that our will, perhaps, isn't as strong as it was. So today, I want to share a little bit of what I have been pondering on what it means to discover what our desire is. And let's start with the universe. The universe is born of desire. The universe is born of desire. Now, why do I say that? Emptiness to fullness. What makes that possible, if not desire? Now, you may not believe in God, but where does desire come from? Certainly some form of mind, some form of intelligence, some form of consciousness that wishes something to be versus not being. The fact that there is anything, the fact that we're here, the fact that the universe is and versus isn't, is an expression that the universe is born of desire. So the takeaway for me is that the Big Bang, someone said, is actually the great radiance. And that we're a part of this great radiance, this great desire that wishes to be and wishes for us to be. Wishes for you to be. And that this universe is, you might say, a desire factory. And that we're desire machines. And indeed, try and live a day without desire. You die. If you just think about the common things, like not being able to breathe. That is an expression of desire. The body desires oxygen. Or food. Have you ever fasted or gone without food or not been able to eat? Just think about how the body desires food. And what happens when we don't meet that desire? People start becoming violent toward each other because the body desires food. Meaning, love. What happens when human beings don't have meaning or love in their life? We desire to be loved. We desire to experience meaning in our lives. We are in a universe born of desire. We are desiring creatures. Bernadette Roberts says that desire comes from the ego, and the ego, in the best sense, is our energy center. Until God takes over and becomes our energy center. But a kid without desire is sadness to me. A life without desire is somehow missing the mark of what we're here to experience. I'm sitting here because of my own desire to be here, which I'm sometimes wondering, why did I desire this? You've been there too. You've desired something and then you get it like the dog catching the car and say, why did I desire this? We are extensions of God, the desiring one. God, the desiring one who wishes us to be and who wishes us to be desirers. Listen to how the psalmist puts it. My heart desires, my heart longs for thee, O my God, like a deer longs for a babbling brook. This church is built around people who desire God, who want to make the desire of God the center of their life. It's extraordinary to find people who choose to desire God. It's so optional in our culture. No one has to believe in God, much less depend upon God. The supermarket gives us our food. And the electricity gives us our lights. Why do we need God? The doctor saves me from my sickness. It's become truly a choice of great faith and courage to be a people of God devotion, to desire God. St. Augustine said, my heart is restless until it rests in thee, O my God. My heart desires thee even before I know you. You have given me the desire to seek you. That's the Creator God placing eternity in each of our hearts, that like would call to like, and that this desire would be quickened and activated as we wake up little by little as children and young adults and realize that all the desires of this world do not satisfy that deepest desire of all from which we come. I have a dream. Wish I could say it better. I have a dream that justice and righteousness and equality would come on this earth. Isn't it awesome that he didn't say, I have a strategy. Here's my PowerPoint. I have a dream. I have a wish. I have a desire. And holy cow, people pay attention when you have a dream. I learned this week that the word desire comes from the French, désiré. And they say that that word, désiré, actually, let me get this straight, comes from the word décidus, which is of the stars. That may your desires, as it were, come upon a wish on the stars. May it come from above, in other words. May your life be graced with miracles. May your desires come to be. That something bigger is required for us to have our desires fulfilled. Something from above. Because we come from above. We're born from above. We are of the stars. We are desiring beings in a desiring universe that's radiating out still to this moment. We're in the radiation. We're a part of it. Why resist it? Well, I wish it were that easy. And I wish it were that nice. And in a sense, that's where a lot of people stop. They just celebrate this awesome gift called desire. And the power of intention and the power of positive thinking is very popular in our culture. But that's not the fullness of truth, and it certainly isn't the fullness of wisdom. The other side of the coin is coming to us from the wisdom traditions, from Jesus, from the work of inner Christianity, And so just as much as the universe is a universe of desire and that we are a part of that, at the same time, our desires are difficult to manage. And we are oftentimes very confused and conflicted upon which desire is good, better, and best. And how many of us have had our lives careened and knocked off course by misdirected desire? But the app, oh, you don't have to raise your hands, but by the appetites that run on our system, by the thoughts that run on our system, by the feelings and emotions that run on our system. And so the New Year's resolution thing is a really good place to see how our desires are very hard to manage. So oftentimes our desires manage us. And the work of inner Christianity has an extraordinary lesson on this. And I encourage everyone to go to the work class if you feel drawn to it. There's a class coming up that is an introduction to the class, to the group. But this commentary, in many ways, offers about 20 pages, really, of the finest word on will, which is how the work calls desire. And I'm going to read a section of it. And some of these words may not make any sense to you, but just go with it and let Maurice Nicole's wisdom into the mind. For the work, again, desire is a part of our will. The center of gravity of the will is the emotional center. The center of gravity of the will is the emotional center. Desires are rooted in the will, which is rooted in the emotional center, which explains why our desires are hard to manage. Because our emotional center is like the untamed elephant roaring through the woods sometimes. Our emotions are so fast and quick and so hard to manage, and our will is centered in those emotions. To return to what I said earlier, our ordinary concept of will is a set jaw, a stern resolve, and so on. You know, I'm going to do it. I will power it. But actually, it is a new kind of emotion, a new insight, a very quiet and without violence. To have, speaking in a relative way, a new will in any familiar situation, this is a grace. And he concludes, will is not self-will. Real will is learned by reading the Gospels and what they say of Christ's temptation. Whose will was he following? And I remember that once Mr. Ouspensky said that before you can have will in a real sense, you must feel your own nothingness. Or, if I may, you must feel your own emptiness. The fact that the work lands will and then the capacity for real will in our emotional center is very instructive for us. And the work goes on to say that there's not a CEO self, so to speak, that's ruling from the executive suite, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. There's actually a crowd, calls us a multiplicity, like a great congress, all of these little different eyes, all this management team, that all have their own will, which explains why we're going in all sorts of directions, and our will and desires are very hard to manage. When I was about 7 years old, about the same age that Samuel was in the scripture we heard, I saw with my eyes something I had never seen before. A black BMX bike with mag wheels. And I thought that I had died and gone to heaven, and I desired that bike. We wake up to desire. So many times we don't even know that we desire something until we see it on a screen or in the store. I want that. Well, my little emotional center at 7 years old got very attached to that bike. And every week I would ask my mom or my dad to take me to the store to see it. And oh, how I wanted that bike. My dad was a janitor, custodian for Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Brookfield, Wisconsin. We lived in the manse. And I knew by then that we were what you'd call the working poor. Because I could see that my cousin wasn't poor. I could see his room full of toys. And oh, how I desired that bike. And my birthday came around, and there, shrouded in a sheet, was the form of a bike. And I opened that sheet up, and I was horrified, embarrassed, and I cried. First searing of the emotional center. The bike was bought at a garage sale. It was a girl's bike. It had a banana seat. And humiliation of all humiliation, my dad had tied a string across to make it a boy's bike. I don't know what my parents were thinking, but it screwed me up for life. That moment seared my emotional center with the number four personality. I don't have what they have. Envy. And a woundedness that attached to that envy of, I'm not good enough. I don't fit in. I'm poor. Well, kids get over things. And I was riding that bike. I didn't care because I wanted a bike. That Christmas, nice ending to the story, my dad was able to save up more money and they bought me that bike, the BMX bike. To this moment, I can feel my emotional center in that sadness that I had at 7 years old. And if I weren't careful, that disordered emotional center, that wounded emotion, could drive my life so that I get bigger and bigger bikes, that I'll never feel insecure again, that I have the biggest buildings and the biggest bank account and whatnot. A program for happiness on steroids. Our disordered desires. So I share this story as a way of just acknowledging I'm probably not the only one whose will and desires can show them something like a mirror back at your emotional center. And don't despair. Remedies are here. From a spiritual perspective, I see that the fulfillment of our deepest desires and the fulfillment and healing of our emotional center begins as we turn away from the self-will and experience the degree of emptying, letting go, what Father Keating and the tradition of center and prayer calls consenting. I consent to your presence in action in me. This is how Samuel put it. Here I am, Lord. Here I am. This is how Mary put it. Let it be in me, Lord. Let it be in me. And this is how Jesus put it. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. These are remedies for our emotional centers and our self-will that can heal us little by little. I want to close with one practical takeaway for all of us. It's a practice that Shannon has integrated into our life and helped me see the value of. And I believe that this simple practice can help us be free of the unconscious stuff that is holding us back from getting our heart's desires. So the idea is that our will and our emotions are impacted by our old stories, by our old thoughts, by our habituated feelings, by memories, and by impressions or sensations that are loaded in the body. That our will and our emotions are impacted by our thoughts, feelings, memories, beliefs, impressions and sensations. And that a lot of these thoughts, feelings, memories, beliefs, impressions and sensations can be on our system without us knowing it, like a virus running in our computer, zapping it of power, zapping it of possibility. Well, the practice that we have incorporated in our life a couple times to really beautiful effect is the practice of emotional clearing. And we had found and had received this amazing gift of a home that we wanted to buy. Shannon still had a home. But we knew if we delayed in making an offer, we'd lose the opportunity to get this home. So we made the offer, and it came through. And then we were faced with the situation of having the possibility of two mortgages, which I was afraid of. 7-year-old kid, fear of poverty, fear of scarcity. Shannon had the thought that no one would buy this home because it was a little garden house, a home behind a home. Who would want to buy that? So we put the home on the market, and 2 weeks went by, not one even realtor, I think, coming through. And in Austin, you know, that's kind of rare. So we were lying in bed, and we said, what's going on here? What do we need to acknowledge and clear that we're not aware of, that we're not conscious of? What thoughts, feelings, beliefs, ideas, memories, sensations, impressions are running in our system that might be getting in the way of our heart's desire? It's a wonderful question to ask when the door isn't being opened, when the way isn't being made clear, when the rain's not falling, and when your life feels parched. Take a moment. So what we did was we wrote on a piece of paper all the thoughts and beliefs that we had. We just put it out there, honestly, ruthlessly honest. One of mine was that, oh my gosh, what if we have two mortgages? We're going to, you know, go bankrupt. And hers was, no one's going to want this home. We put those things on a piece of paper. Then we put on our wishes, our heart's desire. And this movement of energy, this emptying of self to let the space for grace happen, to let the miracle in, it's lawful. The very next day, we had a contract on our home. Get this. From the man we bought his house from. Yes. I said, why didn't you tell us you were looking for a house? We could have swapped and saved all this. It's unbelievable. Okay? I believe in this grace of clearing. Why? Because our thoughts, feelings, moods, emotions, impressions, sensations that are loaded on our system are like linebackers in the way of God's blessing. And you would want to know that. I would want to know that. And so the choice for discovering your desire is very simple in my view, discovering my desire. It's really, am I willing to say, here I am, Lord. I release to you my deepest fears and insecurities, my deepest worries and sense that I'm not good enough. I release that to you. and know that you will fill me and bless me and give me my heart's desire. And I know that truth for each of you, wherever you might be on your journey. It's not Goldilocks and it's not wave your wand, but it's hard work of surrendering and letting go. Let us enjoy living in a universe that wishes to bless us and bring about the fullness from the emptiness. Let's stand and give our hearts to song. Lord, we thank you that we come from above and that you wish to fill us with your love. We ask that you would remove the blockages that are hindering us from receiving the fullness of your grace in each of our lives, that we would radiate this goodness out as you heal us and bless the world in doing so. We pray this through Christ our risen Lord, and all God's people said, Amen. Please be seated. Again, welcome to the Church of Conscious Harmony. It's a blessing to be together in this day of worship. We have several announcements, but before I share them, I'd like to invite Board Member Pamela Began to share with us a little more on our annual aim. Pamela?
Well, like Samuel, we're all in process. And like Samuel, we all have a place. And as Peter was saying this morning, we also all have choices. And one of the practices that we have here in the community is an annual aim. And this year's annual aim is evolving as Christ. And it's an opportunity for all of us to make a choice, but also to link our choices with one another and be supported to align our will, to bring everything that we have to evolving not only ourselves, but this planet. So you're invited, if you haven't already, to grab one of these envelopes, to prayerfully open it, and ponder what choices you want to make this year, and what your contribution to the evolution of this planet will be. There's a card in this envelope that offers some practical ways of choosing, of practicing, of intentionally aligning one's life in each day. So you're invited to make this choice and make it together and make it joyfully. If you have any questions, there'll be someone at a table after the service. Or you can ask any one of your friends sitting next to you what they know about it. Thank you.
Well, our announcements are coming at a different time in the service, but they're still the same announcements. And I am so grateful for this annual aim. I think it's extraordinary in its beauty and presentation. And I hope you feel the radiating invitation that is being given. There are multiple new classes being offered this January, and all of them are listed in your bulletin as inserts. I really encourage you to look at both sides of the inserts to discover the new offerings, especially new offerings related to the introduction to the work class. We are, I left the book down there, but it's Thomas Merton's Inner Experience, and that is our new community reading that begins today, and you can get it at the bookstore. This is an extraordinary book, one of Merton's last to be published. He never saw it published, but it truly is a primer on the contemplative Christian dimension, and I look forward to reading this together as a community and talking about it at the end of February in service. There's still open spots and reservations are available for the 10-day Lenten Centering Prayer Retreat up at Cedar Break in Belton, Texas, about an hour drive north of here. If you feel drawn to partake in that 10-day extraordinary Centering Prayer Retreat, you can contact the church office to register. Also, notice these stunning flowers front and back. The floral committee is in need of new members. No experience is necessary, and it's an opportunity just to let the Holy Spirit use your creativity. So you can contact the church office if you're interested in that. Again, I welcome you to the Church of Conscious Harmony. If you have any questions about the church, you can talk to me after service, or someone will be across the bridge and would love to visit with you. And now, it is time to offer our tithes and offerings to the Lord, and to the church that feeds us spiritually. We take our tithes and offerings in our hands, and we bless them with the knowledge that God's love has always met and will always meet all our needs. Therefore, I give freely and receive joyfully. Let's know that truth together. God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. And how blessed we are to simply remember God. We dedicate this love, these tithes and offerings, the desire for this church is flourishing, these gifts, to the victory of consciously chosen love in each of our lives and on this planet over the lie of separation and our useless acting out from fear. We pray this and know this in Christ. Amen.
Sacred Heart, River of Mercy, Thy will be done. Kiss of peace, well of forgiveness, Thy will be done. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. Through my heart and hand, Thy will be done, Thy will be done. This my life, Thy will be done. Timeless one, unnameable mystery, Thy will be done. Source of all, womb of the universe, Thy will be done. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. Through my heart and hands, Thy will be done. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. In this my life, Thy will be done. Mother of life, healing and abundance, Thy will be done. Path of joy and limitless compassion, Thy will be done. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. Through my heart and will be done. Thy will be done. In this my life, Thy will be done. Sacred Heart, River of Mercy, Thy will be done. Kiss of Peace, Well of Forgiveness, Thy will be
Now is our time to sit and rest in the silence, in community, for a period of centering prayer, which is our method of consenting to God's love and presence and action within. Please join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
For those of us who feel empty and are wondering what will fill us, the Eucharist is the life-giving presence and fills us in an unmistakable way with an unmistakable quality that transforms our emotions and opens us to surrender to the will of God. Please join me in prayer. Abba, we thank you that we know you hear us now, and that we know you always hear us. It is you who are giving us words, you who are teaching us to pray, and you who are giving us faith to pray in, that lets us know and be certain that you always hear and answer when we ask. Abba, we ask. pour out your Spirit on these elements, that we may recognize them, receive them, and respond to them as the body and the blood of your Son, the living Christ. Let them communicate his body to our bodies and his blood to our blood. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and transform us in your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. During supper on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread and, having said the blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which shall be given up for you. This is the body of Christ." When supper was ended, he took the cup. And again he gave God thanks and praise. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all, so that sins may be forgiven. This is the blood of Christ." Living and eternal Christ, we feel your risen presence as the very life that pervades and yet transcends our bodies and our minds. We realize you are the way and the truth, and we are grateful to share in your body and blood. May our participation in these divine mysteries transform us into one in your mystical body, the true body of Christ, for the glory of God our Father, for the glory of his kingdom here on earth, and so that our joy may be complete. We pray this in your most holy and precious name. Amen. Let's stand and give our hearts to song.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a soul like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace
Thank you each one for your choice to be here this morning, to be a part of the presence of Christ. May the Spirit of God heal our emotional center, bringing about a deepened desire for God and healing in this world. Thank you for saying yes to this beautiful invitation. Bless you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And everyone said, Amen. Amen.